So, Amy, when you were a brand new mom, what were some of your favorite parenting books?
Because of my teaching years, I had a favorite author named John Rosemond, and he wrote a book called Parenting Power that I just kept on my nightstand. And then later, I read Teen Proofing. How about you?
Well, I loved Jane Nelson. She had a book called Positive Parenting. And then when it turned out that our kids who were supposed to be spaced 5 years apart were going to be spaced 21 months apart, I quickly bought Siblings Without Rivalry. But my absolute favorite one to read during those years was called And Then I Had Kids. And it was written by an author who confessed that she had been an expert on parenting in her mind, and then she had kids.
Oh, that sounds just like me. From the time I turned 12 to the time I left home, I babysat probably 60 hours a week, and then I became an elementary school teacher. And I mean, I just thought I knew kids. And man, if you were a parent, I could tell you all about it until that baby came home from the hospital with me. And I said to my husband one day, I just wailed when he got home, and I was like, how come I could manage a classroom of 30 kids and now I can't take care of one?
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Today, we're reflecting on what we learned from our conversation with Lynn Cowell, author of Magnetic, Becoming the Girl He Wants.
And although we are specifically talking about mothering, everything we discuss applies to all of our relationships.
So when we talked to Lynn, she was just so terrific. I had a hard time picking out the bad rule and the good rule for this episode because she gave us a lot. But the bad rule that I think stood out was I can use the facades of perfectionism and judgment to protect my family.
Wow, I like that bad rule because it's got a positive purpose behind it. Now, I know it's still a bad rule, but that instinct to protect.
Perfectionism is always holding people at arm's length so they don't see your imperfections or your children's imperfections.
You know, I don't think I realized what a perfectionist I was until my kids got old enough to start making their own choices.
Mercy. Woo! That turns up the heat.
And that's where I realized how bad things had gotten.
I think you had a specific thing with one of your kids, right?
Yeah. This is one of those that really the hero of the story is definitely not me. The hero of the story, which is still in process of being written, is, you know, really what God's done in my heart over the years. As you know, and maybe some of our listeners know by now, boy, I don't remember the date. It's at least, I think we're going on 3 years ago. I started writing a blog series called How to Love Your Daughter When You Hate Her Tattoos. And it's a blog series I never dreamed I would write because in my perfect world, my picture of perfection, it never even occurred to me either of my kids would get tattoos because, of course, we aren't that kind of people. Not that I ever meant anything by that kind of people, of course. It's just tattoos weren't part of our family anything. And so, you know the story of me going on Facebook and seeing a photograph and thinking, my, that individual has so many tattoos, and then realizing it was my daughter and learning the phrase full sleeve tattoo. And, you know, I look back now at how viscerally I responded to that. I mean, it had physical effects on me, the anxiety, the stomach churning, the fear. And since I do live on a Christian boarding school, one of my first thoughts was, you know, what are other people going to think? Because, of course, that's such a helpful parenting strategy. And, you know, I think I found it right about the time that another prominent family had sent their children off as student missionaries. And, you know, there's nothing quite like the contrast. And there's nothing quite as useless as contrasting my child with other people's children and wishing. And, you know, and if you had asked me, Sherry, do you wish you had their children instead of yours? I would have said no, not in a million years.
Absolutely. Sure. Right.
But it was a tough place to be, and I'm not there anymore, but I remember what it felt like.
Oh, yeah. Well, so let me ask you, did you have any negative reactions in your friend world to her tattoos?
That's a great question. And the answer is no, because I ran away and I hid.
I was like, wow, you really do have really great friends, but you didn't give them the chance.
You know, you're now making me start to do the math here, and I may have to I may have to process this. There may be some conviction yet happening here. This may coincidentally be when I quit going to women's group, coincidentally, because I did share with the women's group, and they were very supportive and they were very caring and they listened to me, and I pretty much didn't go back again. Not because of them. Mostly, I was busy. I mean, there's no question. Listen to me babbling. Sure. Do you hear me babbling, Amy? I'm babbling. listen to the rationalization.
We're going to remove all of this. This is useless. Useless.
Thank you for permission to not let anybody else hear that this is the thoughts that go on in our heads. No, I have been back now and then, but yeah, I suppose that kind of was. I know what it is. I know what it is. I have a habit of rejecting first. I'll reject you before you reject me. And even though nobody rejected me, they were kind, loving, supportive. They even emailed me and texted me. It was easier to just stay home than go back again.
Just in case. Oh, girl, I've done that 1,000 times. Yeah. It's hard. It's really, really hard. You know, I got a phone call one day from a friend, and this was such a hard circumstance because she was passing on information about one of my children to me that had come secondhand. Mm. So she hadn't, another child had told her child, and she told me. I didn't deal with that well. At all. So at first I listened and I was okay. But then when I investigated it and found out that it wasn't true, I might have called her back and told her that she should be more concerned about the gossip that was happening with her daughter instead of my son.
You did not? Oh, no.
Yeah. No. It wasn't the best reaction. Later, I had a mentor mom that said, you know, anytime that I start to get high emotion about my parenting, it is a red flag and an indicator that I need to step back.
Oh, my word.
And take some deep breaths.
That's
and
so wise.
Do some processing before I react. And I did not do that. So I had to go back about a year later. After my mentor friend told me that, I went back to my friend and said, hey, I'm really sorry that I handled it that way. Oh. I was very defensive.
Yeah.
Even though, well, yeah, there's lots of layers to that story.
I love it. Even though, wait. I love you, Amy Carroll. Well, but here's the thing, and I don't know about all the other women who might be listening, but for me, motherhood was the area where I actually felt like I was doing pretty well. Like, there were other areas in my life that I felt like I completely messed up, or I have no control over, or I just kind of limp along and do the best I can. But I really felt like I was doing pretty well in the motherhood department. And so part of what was so hard for me with this is it was like I went from I'm doing good, the kids are almost out of the nest, and you know, they're both still in college. Standards I had set by which I judged myself, making that clear, I was judging myself. You know, I just felt like they all fell apart. And, you know, as perfectionists, we do this. We take one area of our life and we let it expand to take over everything. Like, my entire life wasn't Anne Marie's tattoos, but I let it become that for quite a bit of time. Like, everything I did was about her tattoos. Like, I was grocery shopping and her tattoos were right there with me. They weren't. They really weren't. Right. And as she's explained 100 times, they were about her and not me. But that was really hard to even begin to process. How can anything about my child not be all about me, really, now?
Well, yeah, it really does get complicated because for 9 months, they really are part of us.
Yeah.
And then as they grow up, that separation becomes greater and greater. That's hard to process as a mom. But, you know, I think the point here is that, you know, in my story and in yours, gosh, we want to be women that give grace to our friends when their kids are especially publicly really flubbing up. I always want to figure out cause and effect. It's part of my perfectionism, yeah. You know, why did that happen? And it's not helpful. And I don't need to figure it out. It's not my job to figure it out. It is my job to reach out to my friend with love and grace and prayers, you know, and beyond that, not my business. It's, you know, unless I'm invited in.
Well, and you know, you make such a good point that for 9 months, they're with us. They need us. It's 24/7. They're dependent on us. They're so close to us. And we specialize in getting to know them better than they can know themselves. So that for the first years of development, we kind of teach them who they are. You know, when they're young, what are we doing? We're busy telling stories about the latest thing they did, the latest thing they said. And so when they're little, it's perfectly appropriate for us to be so involved in telling everybody everything about. And there comes a time when we really shouldn't be telling their stories anymore. And, you know, nobody gives us guidance on this. At least nobody sat me down as a mom and said, you know, Sherry, your kids are 20 and 22. Stop talking about them. How about you? Have you experienced this whole talking about your kids and then needing to realize they have their own lives and they need privacy?
I think one of the things that has been helpful for me is to think about whose story is this, you know, and who gets to define the story? Well, personally, I want to tell my own story. Yeah. And I want to tell it my way, you know, and it might not be completely right because it's from my perspective, but goodness knows I don't want some stranger telling my story. And I don't even really want my parents at this point, as close as I am to them, as much as I love them. I don't want them telling their version of my story beyond the happy facts. And so I have to give that same respect to my adult children, because I have a 23-year-old and a 20-year-old too, and it's their story, and they get to tell it their way. Now, they have given me permission in my speaking to tell some of their pieces of their story and some of the struggles that we've had as a family so that people can see, gosh, everybody deals with these things. But there was even something I was going to share on the podcast today that I felt like this morning God said, nope, because this is a much wider audience. It's not as an intimate of a setting. And so I just felt like that wouldn't honor my son to tell that story. And so I have to listen to that still small voice in me as God directs us, because I think he will direct us about that too.
Sure. It was so easy to make Anne Marie's tattoo issue all about me. But there were multiple other perspectives, like how her friends dealt with it and how her boss dealt with it. As she shared other perspectives, it was educational. And as I blogged about it and other people commented and I read their perspectives, I was like, oh, it really isn't about me.
Right.
Who would have thunk? Do I have a slice of the story? I do. But it really shrunk it down to a much more manageable size. And the thing I was missing out on listening to her, on asking her, on having her tell me her perspective, because the more she has told me about why she got her tattoos, what they mean to her, and the reaction she's had from people. Mm-hmm. We were actually at a graduation last summer. We're walking together and this woman starts staring at her. And I give the woman a stink eye. And she's still staring.
Yeah, because you not like them, but everybody else better leave Anne Marie alone.
Oh, my goodness. I had to physically restrain myself. And so we get past the woman, and I look at Anne Marie, and I was like, you know, I'm ready to go back and ask that woman if she wants me to pick her jaw up off the floor and tape it back up to her, up to her skull.
Ooh,
my goodness.
I'm a bear.
And she looks at me and goes, who are you? You know, but just for me realizing that, yes, while my perspective had validity, seeing her perspective and realizing that she made her choice to get tattoos having no idea, like she had zero idea what tattoos meant to me. She's artistic. They were just a fun thing to do that she'd always wanted to do, and boom, she did it. And so to hear her stories of how people have treated her and things people have said to her, it really broke my heart. And then to realize I was in that category of people as her mother, that was very convicting as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, with these stories, I think we really have to assess motive in our own hearts. What is the purpose of telling the story about our children? And, you know, sometimes, truthfully, I have realized it's just gossip. You know, yeah. We justify it because it's our kids. We can't gossip about our kids, right? Well, I think we can. So there are friends that I will confide in that I know that will lead me to scripture or give me great advice based on their experiences or whatever. But that's different. Mm-hmm. Just yak that we tend to do about our kids is a whole different thing.
You know, this reminds me of the conversations we've had about complaining about our marriages. I think there's a parallel here. They're both similar in that it's just us venting, trying to feel better, and it's not actually building us or our relationships up in any way. In fact, it's tearing down the integrity of our relationship with our husband or with our children, when what we really need is, we don't need the details. We just need to be able to share with somebody else, I'm hurting, I'm struggling, I don't know what to do, I feel like I'm a terrible mother. And I think we go down the rabbit hole of details, and that turns so quickly into gossip because we're struggling. And the details often aren't going to actually help. The details aren't where the answers are going to be found. I really don't need the details to pray with you. I don't need all of the nitty gritty to be able to just hold some space with you and remind you that you care about your kids, that you're a great mom, that you're doing a good job.
Yeah. Well, this, the idea of personal sin and my struggle with gossip that I have talked about on this show, makes me think about the point that Lynn made that I absolutely loved about making sure that our children know that we personally struggle with sin, and how she talked about that a lot of her sins didn't show up externally. Mm-hmm. So she decided that she needed to start telling her kids what was going on internally in her. That was fantastic. I do think that's something I kind of subconsciously had started doing more in their teenage years. There's a time, I think, when they can understand that better. Mm-hmm. But I just loved that point.
I wanted to ask her if she would be my mother. Because I'm like, my first thought was, what does that even look like? What a freeing concept. Instead of putting time and effort into putting up the facade of everything's fine. No mistakes here.
Well, yeah, because her follow-up was always what God's work was in that. And I think back to Cindy Baltima, who started to tell us a little bit of more details of her story. And she kind of stopped herself and she said, the details of my story don't bring God glory.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that is good. And so Lynn, in telling these details of her inner life, her thoughts, her feelings, it was all still to not point to herself. She was using some of her brokenness as a vehicle to say, this is how God is making me whole. It's a process, of course.
We started out by talking about the bad rule from these episodes. I can use the facades of perfectionism and judgment to protect my family. I think we're really, really clear that these are false protection, that the instinct to protect our family is God-given, but the methodology of perfectionism and judgment are false. What would you say is the fact to focus on instead of that bad rule?
Vulnerability creates the deepest connections with our kids and friends.
So the goal here is connection.
Always.
So protection and connection go together. I like that. So what do you feel like the grit in all of this is?
For me, the grit is in revealing my inner struggles to my children, because that is, it just flies in the face of my former perfectionism that wants to appear like I got it all together. But we do have a big joke at my house. Like every time I make a mom fail, and it's fairly often, I'll go, oh, lost mother of the year again. Sometimes the kids will say it and I'm like, no, you're not supposed to say it, just me.
No, that's a mom only. I love it. Well, and then I think that's where the grace comes in. I just forget that the kids aren't mine, they're his. And so in order to show them God's work in me, I have to be letting God work in me and not be trying to do it all on my own. Just constantly reminding myself, no, it's not me, it's Him. Head over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode54.
You'll find links to this week's Digging Deeper download, Bible verse art, and transcript.
If you've enjoyed episode number 54 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, would you share it with your friends? You'll find super easy share buttons on the webpage for every single episode.
Be sure to join us next week when we'll be talking with Amy Lively, author of How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it. If you've enjoyed episode number 54 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, would you share it with a friend? You'll find super easy, you know, I'm going to redo that. It doesn't have to be a friend. I want them to share it with all their friends.
Yes.